Welcome to the latest edition of K-Rock Football's Season Countdown, an in-depth look at all 34 of the region's local football clubs. Here's your host, Tom King.
There were plenty of great stories in season 2021 in the GFL, despite the fact that we didn't find a winner at the end of them. We've spoken about Grovedale and their improvement, but the other club that we really enjoyed watching the progress of, and it was long overdue, was Geelong West. They were 7-4 through the 11 games that they played, and that was their best return in terms of wins since last making the finals in 2008. A man who's driving a lot of that improvement and has done since he stepped into the coaching role 5 years ago now. Gee, where's that 5 years gone? Greg Mallor has been good enough to join us on the season countdown. Hi, Greg.
Hey, Tom. How you going?
Very well. Have you had a chance to reflect, or did you take time to reflect on season 2021 and what it meant for the further growth of Geelong West?
I don't know if we really sat back and said it was because of the way the season was. Look, you know, I think that unless you actually win a premiership, you're always sort of never completely satisfied. You've got little goals that you need to tick off along the way. You know, I guess we hope that we would be, you know, after 4 years, we would be sort of thereabouts. And so they were taking steps forward, and that's what we want to see as a club. That's what the club wants to see. That's what our supporters want to see, and ultimately our players.
In early August, things were going pretty well. We thought we were going to see finals, and looked like you were going to be part of them. Was there much disappointment in the playing group and in the coaching staff as well, that you were denied that opportunity through no fault of your own?
Oh, I think the players in particular are incredibly disappointed, because you know, you want to test yourself. You want to, you know, like, well, until the season sort of broke down, like, we didn't know it to that Friday night. So we were thinking that we would have to beat South Barwon to win. And, you know, because I think Joey's were playing St. Albans. And, you know, so it was, you know, there's a chance that we mightn't have made it too. And then obviously we had the couple of weeks off, and we thought if we get back that we were going to be playing, hoping to play finals. But it would have been good reward for effort, and you get a chance to see where you're at against you know, the best teams in the competition, and we felt that we would at least be able to compete.
Same question I asked Dan Fraser. I'm not sure whether you listened to my chat with him on the season countdown, but was, how do you make sure that last year's just not a one-off, that it becomes the start of consistent, relevant performances from Geelong West?
Yeah, look, it's ultimately it's the players that, you know, take another step forward themselves with their, you know, they're all a little bit older. And so the younger players that are coming through need to take that step. And with that comes, you know, it needs to have that level of hunger to be able to push themselves to do those extras with, you know, the takes now to be a successful GFL footballer. You know, it's a tough competition. So you need to have that. You need to have a little bit of luck with injuries. You know, I think you saw last year with good sides with both Leopold and Newtown not get a great run with injuries. And the competition's pretty even now. So you could easily take a step back on just having bad luck. So you need a little bit of luck. You need the players to drive it forward. You need to, you know, you have your youth coming up through your club to help provide good depth for you. So all those things come together, and you know, and then on the day you just need to make sure you win enough games to to get in the finals.
Yeah, because you're confident now that you've got the framework in place, that you're right, this is a style of footy we want to play. We know that it stacks up. So it's just now a case of the players carrying that out, what you've put in place, that ensures that you stay in that upper half of the ladder.
Well, certainly the belief is there. And it's amazing what belief does, that you can, that the way that we want to play is really clear, and it's clear to the players. It's clear to people who come and watch us. So we now understand what, you know, what our best footy, Giants footy, looks like, what it feels like. And then we need to make sure that we have that attitude, which is, you know, that's not talent. That's just a mindset. We bring that and play with that or near to their best level each week.
Yep. Just looking at the ladder last year, you had the seventh best attack, even though you were, I think, fifth on the ladder once we were wrapped up after 11 home and away games. You had two clubs below you had better fours for you. In terms of your goal kickers, Peel kicked 17, Collins kicked 16, and they're not what you would call power forward. Peely, definitely not a power forward. Is that an area you've got to address that you need a key marking target that you can rely on to kick goals if you want to really challenge the likes of Colac and St Mary's?
Yeah, I'm not sure. It certainly helps, but I'm not sure that if you can get enough, you know, everyone contributing, you know, your forward. So if you, I would be thinking that we probably need to pick up more goals from our small forwards. You know, you can have your key forwards as long as they're not getting outmarked and they're creating a contest. You know, the game becomes really predictable for your forwards, for us. Part of that is also maybe better defending our front half as well too. So, you know, creating more turnovers in our front half give us better opportunity to score off turnover. So those things that we're working on doing really well, defending that front half of the game. I guess everyone would like, you know, have a Tony Lockett or someone like that, floating around. There was a couple that nearly came to the GFL, So anyway, we've got what we've got, but it's the sum of all parts. So as long as you can creating scoring opportunities from your smalls, you know, we've got, you know, Max Kelly and I'd like to see what Tanner Stone could do through there as well too. Obviously David Peel, Tyler Watts, Jaden
Symes
will obviously also play a bit of forward as well too. So, we need goals from our midfielders.
Yep. You said Jai Bohm. Well, we're trying to say Jai Bohm's name there and stumbled over it. But I want to ask you about him because he's been cited at GDFL Giants training. He lined up in their practice match against Drysdale in late February. Where do you expect he'll land?
To be honest, I don't know. He's got a lot on this year with his business, that it's just, flying at the moment. He's been an incredible servant for our club and he will be away for a fair portion of the year anyway. Like he'll be up in Sydney expanding it up there. And I think he's also going to spend some time up in Cairns, as well too. So I would suspect that if he was available, that he's only going to be available, you know, somewhere between, you know, 5 and 8 games anyway. And they won't be all in one stint. There'll be maybe blocks of 3 and 4 and that sort of thing. So he's been really up front. He's spoken to us. He's got mates at the GD. He's got his mates in the GFL as well too. We would definitely love to have him. Mitch would definitely love to have him as well too. It's going to be... he just needs to be clear in his mind. We've had conversations about clearing his mind about making sure he can do what he needs to be able to do to perform, and so we're trusting him to make that decision.
Yep.
He's had one training run with the GD, played in their trial game, so it'll be what it will be.
Yep. He's almost the last of the Foreign Legion that came in under Andy Viola when they had that massive recruiting drive from all points of the compass. Oh, God, seven years ago, I think that was now.
Yeah. He's been significant too with the helping change the direction of the football club and the standards. He's a really strong role model and leader, and obviously one of their senior players. And so he's been outstanding in driving that. So he's a lot to be proud of.
Also, Lockie Huppert to best and fairest. Maybe he's two-time best and fairest. Definitely one.
Yeah, 2019 he won it.
Yeah, he's gone to Portland. That's work-related. Lockie Taylor's taken a great opportunity in the Waffle. And it's probably snuck under the radar a little bit that he's going to head over there and have a kick at that standard.
Yeah, look, he's... I think he's felt like, to me, Lockie Taylor's the one that is the, you know, he just sort of epitomises the journey for people who, you know, just often everywhere they turn through their junior development, there's a roadblock for him. You know, he didn't make any junior squads. You know, people sort of assume, because he doesn't look like a footballer, he's slight and, you know, wears glasses and stuff, but he, you know, the kid can move and he's got great lateral movement. He's got really good decision making and he can kick the footy and run. So he's just got a desire to play at a higher level and will push and push and push and keep knocking on the door. You know, I looked at him. We had a number of conversations too about guys that were in Falcons, you know, his age level and, you know, weren't playing GFL footy. And I thought that he was one of the young players of the competition, you know, as a 19-year-old last year, 19, turning 20, and their first year of senior footy was outstanding. I think he finished fifth in our best and fairest. So, yeah, he's a bit of a role model for lots of kids that don't get that traditional pathway through Falcons to get a bit of a leg up.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we wish him luck over there. Paddy Eastman's going to have some time off, tend to some personal stuff with getting married. So, obviously, sometimes your priorities change in life a little bit and GFL footy can be demanding.
Well, right, as long as he doesn't forget the day, or I think his dad, Paul's worried about whether he wears shoes or not. So, him and Josie, terrific people, and you know, and he's the same as Jai as well, too, and being a, you know, great leader and great servant of our football club. And, you know, he's getting married next weekend and there's a number of things as well with work. And at this stage, he's going to take the year off.
Of the ins, Angus Codd comes back from Newtown. He's on the Falcons list this year. You get Josh Dwyer up from Port Ferry. What can you tell us about Josh and his footy and what he brings to West Oval?
Look, Josh is a... I don't know, mate. He's probably the old traditional 6'1" type player. Plays a running back, midfield as well too. I think he played at Port Ferry as a you know, a third tall. So we suspect that he'll probably float in one of those sort of areas. He can kick the ball really well. He's a beautiful kick of the footy. He can run. He's picked up work. He's a plumber and he's picked up work with Steve Toohey, so he's coming as a second year apprentice with him. I'm not sure if that'll be good for his footy or not. But,
he'll learn a lot about life.
He will have a good time. Yeah, that's right. No, he's a good man, and Josh is quite laconic and has fitted him really well.
Yeah, good. Noah Gribble is going to align himself back to Geelong West, which is touching in the sense of, obviously, we've lost Andy, who you knew well, who played at West Adelaide back in the early 90s and has been, probably coming up 18 months since we lost Andy. And Noah will align back to West, and you'll see him when he's not required at Werribee, which is a massive pickup for your guys.
Well, look, it's great for a number of reasons. You know, it sort of feels, you know, again, Lockie Taylor was a one-pointer, came back to our club last year. Angus Codd's a one-pointer, has come back to our club this year. Noah Gribble's a one-pointer, has come back to our club this year too. So it's... young boys who, when they were young men, made the decision to leave, which we had a fair few of them there, you know, about 6-7 years ago that left, you know, to start to come back to, you know, sort of recognition of things that we're trying to build into our place. And then we think that not only with Noah's particular point of view that, you know, can help with his development, but also make him, you know, feel part of his family's club.
Yep. Hopefully Tom one day too, but I'm sure Newtown might have something to say about that, depending on what unfolds in Tom's career. We know he's got plenty of VFL left in him. Billy Hoy comes up from the GD Giants. Baxter Mench is an interesting one. He was a co-winner, I think, of the the reserves GFL medal in 2019, playing at Newtown, went down to Torquay. Points didn't help him down there. I think he was playing as a four, which it was a bit of a squeeze at Torquay for him to get a game there. But he's going to come to you guys and try and rejuvenate himself in the GFL at West. What do you see Baxter's role being when we think of Mensch? We think of David and Andrew when they were talls, but Baxter's not as built as the old man.
He might be tougher, though. He might be tougher.
And you know David will be watching this.
Yes, he likes getting in inside. He's terrific with his hands. He's clean below his knees, and he can put people into space. So, like some people when they come out of Falcons, you know, they feel like the pathway is going, you know, is put there for them, and it's not always. Sometimes you get a bit disillusioned, and I think sort of Baxter's sort of taken a while to sort of find himself, find out what he wants to do. He started to enrolled at university this year, and you know, a bit clearer on his pathway, having done a number of little jobs, and he's a terrific young man. They're first and foremost, and we're really excited that he wants to be part of our club and wants to help build our football club and our netball club. And, you know, so we're excited about what he can do. There'll be an opportunity for him to squeeze in through that midfield role, and it's up to him to take it.
David Hanley is on Carlton's list, and you've got numerous VFL players. How many last count have you got, do you think, committed? And you obviously got the boys at Werribee, Moy Moy, Ajang, guys like that there, and Watts, and then you throw in a Chopper at Carlton. How many others are we looking at?
That's all we got at the moment. But the because we had what's his name from Jacob Heron, yep, last year. He was on Kangaroos.
North Melbourne.
Yeah, he went back to Queensland, which in light of the rain at the moment, probably not a great idea.
No.
But the I think with with David and the boys there, they're certainly, you know, it's a great opportunity for David. He had a cracking year last year, yep, and it's just amazing. I think for people to, you know, if you want to play above the level at this standard, if you play above the level of football, people are going to come and knock on your door, and you'll get an opportunity, and so. That's what's happening to him this year, and who knows what could happen with COVID and all that sort of thing. There'll be VFL listed players that'll get put on AFL lists because, you know, there'll be maybe a run of infections and stuff like that. So it's a good time to be a young bloke if you really want to have a crack.
Yeah, absolutely. No, we wish him all the best, and obviously the boys at Werribee as well. There's some talk of aligning the standalone VFL clubs with the Northern AFL clubs if players are required as well. So opportunities might open up for Ajang, Moy Moy, Watts. And I know you're very bullish about Emmanuel Ajang and what he can do. So, we could be talking in 12 months' time about Emmanuel Ajang being on an AFL list because he got an opportunity.
Yeah, he could. Tyler's down at the Cats VFL.
Now, oh, is he?
So, he's sort of working through their development program.
Good stuff. All right. Trackstar, got one?
Yeah, got a couple. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Tanner Lovell can do this year. Sean Barnes and Ty Evans was injured for a fair bit of last year. Yep. So first two were young guys, first year of GFL footy. And, I'd like to see how and Ty missed a lot of year footy with his hamstring. So
good. Anybody that won't be there round one? Against Leopold?
Yeah, we had an unfortunate accident on last Wednesday. I think Hugh Collins did his knee, did an ACL. So young, played his first year of senior footy, played every game, I think every game, or might have played, if he didn't play everyone, he might have played 10 of the 11. He did because I think he got knocked out. But really, it's a real sad blow for us as a, you know, we're expecting him to take another step forward in that role as a, you know, small defending back.
Yep. How did it happen, Greg?
Just changed direction. That was it. There's no tackle, nothing. He was running with the ball and changed direction. He gave way. So.
Yep. Training, were you at West or at Baker's training?
We're at West.
Yep.
Yeah, so it was really unfortunate.
Yep.
Really unfortunate.
How do you engage him for the season? Obviously, get his surgery done and keep him involved.
That's the key. We need to get him in and get his surgery done quickly. You know, the elective surgery, you're never sure about what that means or what could look like. So we definitely want to try and get him in before start of round one. So that'll give him 12 months to get it right. Initially, it's just checking in and trying to look after him and support him as well as you can. And then, he helped out with our under-15s last year. It might have been last year. We would definitely love to have him around the footy club. He's just one of those great, great country boys. And we've got a number of them at our footy club at the moment. So he'll definitely be involved. Just depends on what capacity that he wants to do.
Yep, straight ACL, no other damage.
I think it's that sort of thing. But he's catching up with the surgeon next week, so we'll know more then.
Yep. Leading into round one, you're busy with practice matches. You've got some good quality matches lined up, including a hit out against Motawari down at North Torquay. You got Newtown in there as well, and I think you head down to Camperdown.
That's right. Yeah, we went to Camperdown last year. It was actually really. It was a bit of a didn't feel like it was going well in, you know, the lead up to it, but it became, you know, they had a heap of guys at a wedding, so they had a few guys out and stuff, that sort of thing. But it actually turned out to be really, got on the bus, come back, it was really good team bonding. Players got a lot, became closer. We had a lot of new players last year, and so it became a really positive experience. And this year it's us that's got a number of players out because of a wedding, but it is what it is.
Yep. Your first month, Leopold on a Sunday, Grovedale in round two, Newtown and Lara. So a nice mix of clubs in different ladder positions from last year, but four of them all underneath you guys. So that's going to be interesting to watch. And a couple of K-Rock games as well. So we're going to get a nice look at you early, especially a standalone Sunday game, which will, you know, people will have an appetite for local footy. You might play in front of a pretty good crowd at Leopold in round one.
Yeah, no, it'll be exciting. I think people are just keen to get back to footy and have it, you know, see it happen regularly. I think that it'll be interesting to see what Leopold, because they'll be, you know, new coach, new players, a lot of this, you know, a number of their senior guys have gone as well too. So that'll be a completely different outfit as well too. So, you know, I think that this year the competition will get a lot more even.
Yep. Don't know whether this means much to you. Probably means a bit more to me. Is that you actually don't play a team that finished above you until round seven, which is rare for Geelong West.
Well, that's and also that's last year too. You know, like people would have looked at probably us and Grovedale at the start of last year and going, oh, we've got West and Grovedale, and I think Grovedale won their first five games or four of their first five.
You beat them in round two. They got all excited. You got them all. They got all excited after beating Bell Park in round one and got the reality check at West in round two.
So, exactly. So, I don't doubt there's going to be, you know, teams that are going to be like that as well too. And when you have a fairly even, you know, we're all excited to see what North Shore brings this year. Lara took a step forward too last year. So, it'll be interesting. And if you get a bit of luck with you with injuries, that's what you need.
Yep. 14 years between drinks is far too long for the club in terms of finals. And we're not going to talk madly about premierships, but as a club that obviously haven't won a GFL one, and you know, as an entity with the old VFA, you've got to go back to 1975. And I know there's a lot of people from that era still around the club who would love to see some success. Greg, things are heading in the right direction. Maybe we can see a little bit of orange and charcoal running around in the finals for the first time in September, which would be fantastic.
Well, that's what we're about. So we're all working towards it, but it's a marathon, not a sprint. So we'll be definitely doing our best.
Really appreciate you taking the time out to have a chat to us as always, and can't wait for round one when we see you against Leopold out at Leopold.
Pleasure as always, Kingy. Thank you for having me.